Welcome, trucking enthusiasts, to another exciting episode of NextGen Talks. I'm thrilled to be your host, Lindsay Trent, here as we delve into the world of all things NextGen when it comes to trucking. Whether you're a seasoned professional behind the wheel, an educator, technician, executive, or someone who's just passionate about shaping the future of the industry, you're in for a treat. Before we hit the road on today's discussion, I want to express our sincere gratitude to our sponsors. Without their support, this podcast wouldn't be possible. So a big shout out and thank you to our partner members, Benny Key Foods, Christensen, Geotab, Clean Harbors, Digital Management Team, Driver's Legal Plan, Fastenal, Old Dominion, Ryder, Samba Safety, Long Haul Trucking, TriVista, Rail, and J&M Tank Lines. Thank you for helping us advance the community. And so buckle up and get ready for an inspiring, insightful journey as we delve into all things next-gen trucking, your road to the future. Hey, this is Lindsay Trent with NextGen Talks, and we are excited today because we have Roman Garcia here with us on the show, and Roman is a diesel technician by trade turned owner of his own company, and he's going to share his story with us, and we just want to say thank you, Roman, and thanks to our sponsors as well. Who are our members of NextGen that makes all of this happen to help get young people interested in careers in trucking. So welcome, Roman, to the show.
Hello, everyone.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. I want to start, though, when you were younger. Did you always want to be a mechanic, or were you introduced by a family member? How did that come about?
It's in my blood. My dad's been a truck driver all his life. And since I could remember, I would always go with him since I was super small in the trucks. And he's done everything from a reefer, dry van, white loads, low boys. But I've been around it all my life since I can remember.
Okay. Yeah. And so did you always want to be involved in trucking, or did just an opportunity happen?
No, it's something that I've always wanted to do. Of course, my family wanted me to go into truck driving. But when I was real young, my dad used to hire just technicians to go to the house and to work on his semi. And since I was probably around 10 years old, I would tell him I had my own tools already by 10, 12 years old. So I would tell him, just tell me what to do and you all can drink beer with my dad and I'll do it. And that's what got it started. So I fell in love with all anything diesel.
Yeah. That's incredible. So from an early age, you had an aptitude really towards being able to work and see the truck and fix it.
Exactly. Yes.
And then you wanted to do that as a career, and you started at 10.
Yes. Since I was real young, and then every single time my dad would come home on the weekends, we would PM the trucks, grease them. And we've been driving since we're very, very young. And I have an 11-year-old, and I told my wife, it's crazy that by 11, we're already, you know, moving the trucks in the yard and backing them up, hooking up trailers and everything. So I can't see my 11-year-old do it now. You know, it's just, it's crazy.
That is so funny. So at 11, you would help kind of move the truck around and everything.
Trucks, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully the insurance will never find out.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm telling you, we go to Future Farmers of America every year and we talk to these students, and they drive the truck on the farm, and it's incredible hearing their stories. We talked to a 14-year-old last year that rebuilt a Peterbilt at 14. Like, that's just what they want to do, right? They love it. It's in their blood, just like you said.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me about the opportunity then. So it's in your blood. You did it. But
yeah, we grew up in a very low income family. My parents both came from Mexico in the 70s, and low income, hardworking, And then when I was in high school, I messed up my neck my sophomore year in football. And they asked to choose an elective. And for whatever reason, I never knew, but because I never looked for other elective other than sports because I love football. Mm-hmm. And once that happened, they offered, they had automotive, they had welding, and they had the diesel program at STCC. And then, man, that just opened my eyes. And it was a little bit hard because we had to be at La Jolla High School at 6 in the morning because mm-hmm. the bus left like around 6:30 because the first class was at 7:30 at the college. And mind me, I was 16 years old. So from the whole school, it's only three of us that chose that elective. And empty bus, you know, just three guys going to the STCC. But it was just an amazing experience. Yeah, so, yeah.
So your high school mm-hmm. said, hey, you know, you're like, hey, I can't do football anymore. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that was so depressing. But then they're yeah. like, but we have these other opportunities.
Yes.
You can study to be a diesel technician. And while you're yeah. in high school, go to the college and take classes.
Yes, it was amazing. And I think the diesel program at STC had just started. So mm-hmm. the instructors, they were both super new to the program. They were actually building the program. And it was an amazing experience for everybody. Them, you know, picking up, you know, trying to put everything together. And us just trying to learn because the classes were very small. Yeah, it was like three high schools. And every high school only had three guys, and the college only had five diesel tech students. And now it's crazy. I think there's like 50 per class, and they're right at like around 300 kids that want to do diesel now. So it's just amazing. Yeah, it's super nice. Yeah.
So how long ago were you in high school and did you start this program?
Yeah, I started the program in 1996. Okay. I was a sophomore, and I graduated in 98, but the program, I started in 96, and we started with hydraulics. Our first class was safety and hydraulics, our sophomore year, and then our junior year, we did engines and electronics. Mm-hmm. So, and I've always been super into electrical since I was very young. I like working on race cars also. So by the time I was like around 15, I was already wiring my own race cars and, you know, taking off the engines and putting them back on and everything. So being that I liked engines and electronics, it just opened my mind. You know, everything seemed a little bit easier on the diesel side than the automotive for me.
Really? Yeah. Huh.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And you started this. Did you start this as a junior going over to the college?
Yes. The first at the beginning, it was a junior, right? Or no, it was the sophomore year. My wife's. Yeah, I think I started it at the end of my sophomore year, okay. And then I went the whole year, my junior year, and then I graduated early from high school and kept going to finish the program.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Now, when you went over to the college, is it an all-day program or half a day?
It could be either or. If you really want to work hard, you'll finish the program in a year. A lot of people do it part-time. I took a little bit longer due to the fact that I had to have a job on the side. So I took the whole year to do it. Mm-hmm. I could have done it a little bit faster since I had already accumulated some credit from high school. But because I had to work and get some money, I took the whole year. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now fast forward to today, right? Mm-hmm. You serve on that advisory board.
Yes.
They still have the program.
Yes.
And you're saying it's almost at full capacity.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's I'm just intrigued with all the kids that we see. I went to a program that they had a couple of weeks ago, and it's just amazing that those classes just keep going up and up. Yeah. And a lot of kids are do the transition from automotive. They'll finish the automotive program and then jump into the diesel program.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I a lot.
And so they're high school students and they're mm-hmm. taking the bus over to South Texas College.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. And so it's La Jolla High School. Are there any other feeding?
Oh, no, La Jolla doesn't do it anymore. They stopped doing it years. They only did it, I think, till 2001, around there. And they opt out. But right now, I know there's about 5 or 6 high schools that from other cities that do it, but La Jolla doesn't do it anymore.
Okay, so yeah. 5 to 6 high schools feed in and yes. They do. Tell me about, yeah. Like, you went to the meeting. What are the students like?
Amazing kids. And you could tell it's super hard to find out that the kids that are there that really love it. It's super, how can I tell you? Me as a business owner, a lot of, you could tell the kids that are just there to get a degree to satisfy their parents. And those are the ones that I'm trying to change the curriculum to where, since day one, when they start the program, I want them to start even an hour, 2 hours part-time at any diesel shop or any dealership. So I'm trying to get, that's, we'll weed out the kids that are just there to satisfy the parents to get a degree, because there is a lot of them. So, but in the other hand, there's a bunch of them that they love it. They want to get their hands dirty. They want to learn. And we're trying to figure out with the instructors and the board, how we're going to go with that. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. How to get those students that are really wanting to do this.
Yes. For their yes. Career path. Yeah. Because a class of 30, maybe there'll be 10 that are just there, you know, because they're on some kind of program or incentive or something. And you can tell 100% which ones are, which ones really want to be there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. You can tell who has it in their blood, right?
Like, yes, exactly.
Excited to be there, yes. Wanting to learn. Have you been able to hire any of?
We've had, when I graduated high school, I finished the program back in 2000. And 6 months before I graduated, Peterbilt, the dealership rush, they had already given me a job. And I was there for about a little bit over 8 years. Wow. And then I went to work for Holt Caterpillar as an engine specialist. And I'll be grateful to the day I die to Holt, because they invested a lot of money in me and all the trainings for from a single cylinder diesel engine to all the huge 3516 Caterpillar engines. So it's just, I'll be grateful forever with them. I spent 2 years with Holt, and then I went back to Rush for about a year and a half. And then I decided to go on my own. It's something that I've always wanted to do, to go on my own. Mm-hmm. And it's been a huge roller coaster. But we're here. And right now we have three associates, diesel technicians associate. They already graduated from associates from STC. And one of them, he does a little bit of everything, CDL, state inspector. And that's what I tell these guys, if that's how we're going to give back to the community, I want to at least get you all to that stage as a very good level one DOT inspector, CDL driver. Because if you all decide to leave us, at least, you know, we feel that we got you to that level to start making good money and go forward.
Yeah, you're like me. And I try to get people in trucking to realize this is like, you know, you need a workforce, but what you're really doing is helping upskill people and helping better their lives, right?
Exactly. And for me, one of my level two guys left last week, and I told him, the doors are open. If you ever want to come back, but at least we have that feeling that we helped them by that. You know, when he came in, he couldn't tell you a difference from a half inch socket or a half inch wrench. Wow. So, to get him to a very high level two technician, it's something satisfying on my part, you know, that we got them there. Yes.
What made you, like, when you were, you know, 16, 17, 18, mm-hmm. going into this program, did you know you mm-hmm. wanted to own your own company?
Yes. Since I was very young, I've always, it's not that I don't like for people to tell me what to do or nothing, because if you have that kind of mindset, you'll never get anywhere. So you always have to have an open mindset. And when I was in STC at 16 years old, there was a older gentleman that he had spent about 25 years of his life in prison. Mm-hmm. And the program, that halfway house program, he was a very good diesel mechanic. So they paid off his program, and we became real good friends. And he told me something that to this day I abide with it, that it don't matter if it's a 15-year-old kid or a 100-year-old man that's giving you advice, just keep your mouth shut and suck it in. Every advice that, because you just never know when you're going to use that, you know, that advice. So I've had employees that it's super hard to make them understand some stuff, and they have a different mindset, but just have an open mind and suck in like a huge sponge, all the information that you can. And I can guarantee you at some point you will use it.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what we try to teach our kids, is you've got to be coachable, right?
Exactly.
A lot of people don't want to be coachable, and I get it. But he told you that at a young age, and you took that to heart. Said, okay, yes.
He also told me to take care of your credit.
oh, did he? Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's a good lesson.
Yes, take care of your credit, because you will need it. If you want to go on your own, take care of your credit, and it'll take care of you later.
Yeah. Very smart. So take care of your credit, because you're going to have credit to open up a business.
Yes.
And be coachable. Listen, take in what people are teaching you.
Yeah. And as a business owner, for me, people ask me what it's like. It's the most difficult part is having 100 different personalities, because we have customers that love golfing. And even before we start touching their truck, they want to start talking about golf. So I'm like, I don't know nothing about golf, but you know what I mean? Every customer is different. And the same with our technicians, you know, some like hunting, some like cars, and you just got to work with them and, you know, try to have a conversation with everybody and keep everybody happy. And
Yeah. So you're saying at Diesel Mechanic, they also need to be personable and have good customer service skills, right? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was at Rush, sometimes we wouldn't get any work at all. And there was 25 technicians, and I was the only one with 10 trucks. And everybody was getting mad at me, the rest of the technicians. But it was the customers that wanted me to touch their trucks, you know. And they told me, you know, if you're going to take a week, 2 weeks, a month, it don't matter. But we want you to be working on our trucks. And I felt bad, because the rest of the guys, nobody had work. And they would always be complaining to the management and stuff. You know, how is this guy has 100 hours a week and we're at 10 hours a week in flat rate? But once you build that relationship and you explain to the customers, and I used to get the customer's name and number, and I used to take pictures of the progress. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they would come in for a 4-hour job, and by the time they left, already sold 30 hours of labor. Mm-hmm. You know, we were receiving a Velcro gasket, and we saw a bad rocker, we saw a coolant hoses radiator, or we found oil in the radiator cap, you know, let's pressurize the oil cooler and stuff like that. So I was kind of like my own salesman. So whenever there wasn't work, I would go to the big fleets and just start opening hoods and, you know, bringing in work for the whole shop, you know.
Yeah. Seeing what needs to be done. Yes. And letting them know, but then also they had a good relationship with you and trusted you.
Yes.
And knowing that you want to give them the best possible service and a good working truck that's on the road.
Yes. Yeah. And on the mechanic side, I graduated with a certificate, and I went through all those trainings. And when I opened my company, I felt 100% comfortable and confident that there was nothing that can walk in the shop that I couldn't fix. You know, I had that confidence and that my background and the knowledge to fix anything, motor, transmission, differential, electrical, whatever it was. But what I was lacking was like on the management side and accounting side. Mm-hmm. So my wife, she graduated with an associate's in business and marketing. So bachelor's. And then she was a teacher. But I did everything. When I opened the shop, I did everything by myself for about the first year. Mm-hmm. And then I had to tell her that, hey, it's time to leave the school and come help me. And,
run that side of the business.
Yes. Yeah. She's been taking care of it. And I never thought we would have an HR department, but we have an HR department now.
That's great. Yes. So you started off as a technician. You saw the dream and you knew that you wanted to run your own business. And I'm sure you put a lot of time in, a lot of effort, sweat and tears, right?
Yeah. A lot. Yes. A lot.
Is it worth it?
It is. I never thought we're gonna grow this much. We're a little bit over 12 employees right now, and but it's been great to be able. I found all the, not just bad, but things that the dealerships that I work for and other companies that they were doing wrong to their employees and the technicians and stuff. And that's one thing that I make my guys go to see their kids at the school. You know, they have a little concert and I tell them, hey, are you going to go see your kid? And one of my tickles is like, no, my mom and my their grandparents are going to be there. I'm like, no, that kid wants to see you. Yeah. And you're like, no, boss, I have a lot of work. I'm telling you, you need to go. And then he comes back with watery eyes, you know, telling me, man, you know, as soon as he saw me, he started tearing up. And it's just, I went through it at when I worked at the dealership. Never once did they let us go out there. You know, my kid, I got to take him to the doctor. No, you have work. Like, it was super hard. So I saw that I never wanted my guys to ever go through it. And they appreciate it a lot. And their families appreciate it a lot also.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. Yes. So giving your employees flexibility to, yes, you know, do what's important, which is family. Yes.
Yeah. Family for us, family is first, no matter what. You know, yeah, we figured it that work was always going to, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen with this customer? They're not going to go deliver Pepsi Cokes at the store, you know. Right. But for us, I think that's one of our, the biggest success that we've had with our employees is making sure they spend good time with their families.
So the students that you're seeing today that are coming in and, you know, they're in the program, what kind of hope do you have for the future of diesel techs in this area?
The number one thing that when you look forward is making sure they come out of the school as a level one. Mm-hmm. That is the most important thing that I'm trying to help the college. These guys, a lot of them are coming out, and it takes a good, you know, 6 months to become a very good level one. Mm-hmm. And if we can get them out of the school as a level one tech, meaning they can all do perform preventive maintenance on any truck, any trailer, basic electrical alignments, DOT inspector. If they can come out as a good level one, they're gonna make more money, and people are they're gonna be worth a lot of money for companies. There's right now, I think there's over 150 openings here in South Texas for level one techs.
150, just in South Texas.
150, yeah. I have one company in Hidalgo. It's a Mexican fleet. And but they only hire minimum for level one. They don't want to hire apprentices. They don't want to train for level one. But they that company alone, their night shift is they're needing about 25 guys.
Wow.
And they're at four. They only have four. Wow.
And typically, yeah, how much does an entry level one technician, how much do they make here?
In between 18 and 25, $18 okay, to $25 an hour. Yeah.
So I could be 18 coming out of my first job. Mm-hmm. And get $18 an hour at least
minimum. Yeah, minimum.
Right. Yes. With a progression to make more as I gain skills.
Yeah, we hire at 25 level one techs, but they have to prove to us within about 3 or 4 days that a lot of people can prove it on paper and mm-hmm, talking about it. But once they get their hands on, it's not there. And what I'm trying to change in the school is, by the time they start their first class, they'll start either with us or some other dealership, at least an hour, come to the shop. We're not going to pay you, but you're going to gain all that experience from our guys. You know, 1 week I'll put them with an engine guy, the next week with a transmission guy, PM guy, electrical guy. So like that. And that'll weed out the people that don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
once they see them, that, hey, I got a bunch of oil in my back and my eyes and stuff and all the sweat, or they get a, you know, pinch their hand or finger, they'll find out pretty quickly. We don't want them to find out, you know, a year into the program or 18 months into the program. You know, if it's going to happen, let it happen as fast as possible and get everybody in.
Yeah. Awesome. And you know, there was an article that you were featured in and talked about, you know, what this program has done for you. What has this program done for you?
Yeah, the STC program. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's opened up on my side. It opened up my mind to where I made a list of stuff that kids really need. Since the first day they enter, me and my wife were talking to a couple of little girls, like 16-year-old girls from a farm school here in South Texas, and they're already close to finishing the program. Mm-hmm. And the number one thing that they wanted hands-on. They have zero hands-on. So they're like, I don't care to get her to get cuts, get dirty. We want hands-on. But the girls, I think they were 16 and 17, so nobody would give them the opportunity to go out there and, you know, do like a 1 hour, 2 hour training or stuff like that. So I think that's one of the most important things to do, get these kids actual hands-on. When I started the STC program in high school, we would tear down every single motor we had, every single transmission, every single differential. And now it's just everything on computer. And that's something I would love to change. Yes.
Yeah. Get it to be more hands-on.
Yes. Hands-on. Yeah. Since the get-go. Yeah.
Yeah. What? And so it's about the students. I mean, are there any good stories of students that you've heard or just meeting these young girls? Do they want to be diesel technicians?
They want to be diesel techs. And I asked them, do you want to be like outside sales or parts or more clerical? They're like, no, we want to turn wrenches. We want to get down and dirty. And, you know, we want to fix, like, that's our passion, to tear apart, evaluate parts, put them back together. So for me and my wife, we're like just amazed with them. And three young girls, when I hand shook every single one of the girls, they had a tighter grip than most of my guys here in the shop. Like, you could tell, you know, they're hardcore farm little girls that they know what they want. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's about giving them an opportunity. And it sounds like with the program, they have the opportunity.
Yes.
And it's just about progressing their career and getting a good job when they graduate.
And the instructors there at the South Texas College, they're just amazing guys. Those guys could easily be making $150,000 working out in the field. And for me to see what they get paid and to do what they do, for me, is just amazing. Like, it takes a big heart, you know, and an amazing family at their home, so they can let them do what they do, because all of them they have a lot of knowledge and stuff, and they could be making, you know, three or four times more money than what they're making.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, but I the instructors, I respect them. You know, they're amazing guys.
Yeah, but if they have that passion and they want to invest in those students and help build up the next generation of technicians.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for being a part of your community and really helping these young people see opportunities out there. And what we want to do at Next Gen Trucking is help people like you across the country say, you know what, I need to be involved in my local school and be in the school board and help these young people, help the teachers. And it sounds like you're doing just that.
Yeah. We try right now. We had a program right before COVID. We got 10 of the, like, the highest level automotive technicians at the La Jolla High School, at Palmview High School, our local high school here. Mm-hmm. And their instructor chose like the top 8 guys. And me and my wife did a 6 or 8 week training. So they would come on Saturdays and work the 4 hours, and we gave them a little certificate. And it was amazing. These kids were amazing.
Yeah. Wow. So you invested in them for 4 hours every Saturday.
Every Saturday. And COVID came in, and we had bigger plans, but COVID came in, and we had to stop it. But it was something that we want to start working with different high schools. I know with the colleges it's a little bit more difficult. There's a lot of stuff that has to be done to create a program like that for a college. But for us, that we're a small business, it'll come easy for us, you know.
Absolutely. I think that's fantastic.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Well, thanks for all that you do. And we just hope that young people will see that they can be diesel technicians and then own their own company and give back. And thank you for doing that, Roman. It was great to have you on the show today.
Yes. God bless you all. Yes, ma'am.